As he was working late on the sixth day, God created woman. As God worked, an angel came by and asked, "Why are you spending so much time on her?" And the Lord answered, "I must shape her to meet many specifications. She must function in all kinds of situations, and she must be able to embrace many children at the same time. She must have a hug that can heal anything from a bruised knee to a broken heart, and she must do all this with only two hands." The angel was very impressed. "Just two hands to do all that? Impossible, and this is the standard model?" The angel came closer and touched the woman. "But you have made her so soft, Lord." "She is soft," said the Lord, "but I have made her strong. You can't imagine what she can endure and overcome." "Can she think?" asked the angel. The Lord answered, "Not only can she think, she can reason and negotiate." Then the angel touched her cheeks. "Lord, it seems this creation is leaking. You have put too many burdens on her." "She is not leaking, it is a tear," said God to the angel. "A tear? What does a tear do?" asked the angel. The Lord said, "Tears are her way of expressing deep feelings, her grief, her doubts, her love, her joy, her loneliness, her suffering, and her pride." This made a big impression on the angel. "Lord, you're a genius. You've thought of everything. Woman is indeed marvelous." The Lord said, "Indeed, she is. She has strength that amazes. She can handle trouble and carry heavy burdens. She holds happiness, love, and opinions. She smiles when she feels like screaming and sings when she feels like crying. She cries when happy and laughs when afraid. She fights for what she believes in. Her love is unconditional, and her heart is broken when a next of kin or a friend dies, but she finds the strength to keep on with life." The angel said, "So she is a perfect being." And the Lord replied, "No, she has just one drawback. She often forgets what she is worth." Humanity is indeed marvelously made, and we are crafted in the image of God, the Imago Dei. But what if we expanded this story of woman being marvelously made to include woman and man being made? And in the telling, what if we came to believe in the worth of all of humanity? What if we believed that all are precious and worthy? If we saw worth in ourselves and in each other, would it change how we live? Would it change the world? Worth is core to the teachings of Jesus. And yet, have you ever noticed how paradoxical Jesus' teaching can be sometimes? It's like he says one thing, but in reality, he's actually teaching another, more meaningful, deeper lesson for life. And those all too human disciples seemed like they didn't really get what Jesus was laying down. And a good example of that is the ascension. It is an important core belief, and yet most, me included, until I went to seminary and spent time learning arcane and dense theology, most don't know why the ascension is so important. We may remember that Ascension marks the 40th day after Easter Sunday. You did remember that Easter is not just one day, but a season of 40 days, right? Of course you did. The Ascension is so important, we speak of it when we recite the Nicene Creed every week. We speak of it in some of our Eucharistic prayers. From Rite 1, Prayer 1 and 2, we say, "Having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension." From Rite 2, Eucharistic Prayer A, we celebrate the memorial of our redemptional Father in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. From Eucharistic Prayer D, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory. Following his appearance to Mary Magdalene, Jesus did a lot of teaching in his post-resurrection appearances. First to Mary and the other women at the tomb, and then to Peter and John, who run out there to double-check the woman's fantastical story. On the road to Emmaus, when Jesus is unrecognized by two of his disciples at first, And then later that night, when Jesus appears in the upper room to the rest of the disciples, not just once, but twice. And who can forget the doubting Thomas, who puts his finger into the wound in Jesus' side and says, "My Lord and my God." And what about when they're at the seashore in Galilee and Peter has a conversation with Jesus about tending the flock of Christ? And of the 500 who all saw Jesus, the last post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, the last in the Gospel of Luke, is his ascension or his exaltation to God, when we learn that we too, after our death, will ascend to the place where God is. As he did in life and death and his ascension, Jesus shows us the way to the Father. But then Jesus gives the disciples the Great Commission. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus tells them. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This Great Commission is where, as my boss at the Denver Art Museum used to say, the rubber hits the road. Because in addition to being exalted to God, this Great Commission is one of the reasons why the Ascension is so important, because we say it in the Nicene Creed and in our Eucharistic prayers. We say it every week over and over because we're also human, and we tend to forget. Now, if I'm overextended or multitasking too much or have too much on my mind, I can be pretty forgetful. How many of you have helped me find my lost church keys? You laugh because I'm always walking around saying, "Have you seen my keys?" I can also be lazy. I like to relax and take it easy, put my feet up, sit in the sun, read a book, mess around on my computer, binge watch British murder mysteries on the BBC. And I wonder, did Jesus realize that if he stuck around, we'd lay at his feet all day, every day, enraptured and enthralled, listening to him speak? There we'd be sitting at his feet, asking him to explain arcane and obscure points of theology, while all around the world people would be starving, suffering injustices because of the color of their skin or their gender identity. Because if we admit it, we're not really that different from the ancient disciples. Look at the reading from Acts for today. I can see myself sitting there, afraid to lose him again, remembering how I'd cowered in the locked room after his death. I can imagine asking him that same question, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" Jesus knew the ancient disciples, and he knows the modern ones. He knows that if he hadn't ascended to the Father, if he hadn't taken the training wheels off, you and I would never get around to building the kingdom. Instead of saying, "Yes, of course, let me do that for you," Jesus tells them and us that we will receive power from the Holy Spirit to build the kingdom of God in his name, to witness our faith to the ends of the earth. And I get that's a big job, a daunting task. But what if, like the woman in the story I began with, what if we realized our worth? What if we knew there was nothing we couldn't do in the name of Jesus? We can endure and we can overcome. We have strength that amazes. We can handle trouble and carry heavy burdens. We hold happiness and love and opinions. We fight for what we believe in, and our love is unconditional. So does anyone watch The Midwife on BBC? Last Sunday night, at the end of the episode, one of the nuns quoted Hildegard of Bingen, a 12th century Benedictine abbess, and the first published woman composer whose works are still performed today. It's the quote that I added to the end of my email as my tagline. "God hugs you. You are encircled by the arms of the mystery of God. You shine so finely, you surpass understanding." crafting today's sermon for the Ascension challenged me to come to see Jesus' ascension as one of both loss and glory. As Richard Landers in Feasting on the Word writes, the ascension of Jesus is a moment of loss and transition, as well as a moment of glory. We read Acts with mixed emotions, relieving the grief of the apostles as Jesus is taken from them, while we also look forward to hope to the work God has prepared for us. Transitions are a constant feature of our existence, but those transitions that involve losing and gaining people can be among the most significant. We are often engaged in the back and forth between encounter and dismissal, greeting and farewell. My dearly beloved, this past week, I announced that I have accepted a call to be the next rector of Church of the Epiphany in Flagstaff, Arizona. It was a hard decision and a bittersweet announcement, for you have become precious to me. The tender love that I feel for you cannot dim with distance or fade at high altitude. It was only after much prayer and discernment and many, many sleepless nights, with the companionship of my faithful spiritual director and the voice of God speaking through others and in my prayers, that I slowly came to believe that God wanted me to share the lessons that you have helped me learn these last 8 years, and to share those lessons in the service of another community in the mountains of northern Arizona. After hearing the news, many called or texted or emailed or stopped by to share their thoughts and feelings about my surprise announcement. Some worry that the good and holy work we have done together to build up the kingdom of God in this place will stop, or perhaps even go backwards. That without me as spiritual leader, the community will no longer love and welcome all God's people, no matter their race, gender identity, sexual orientation, education, age, or income. As I listened to my sisters and brothers express their candid thoughts and feelings, I shared with them that a healthy and strong faith community is not dependent upon just one person, that all God's people are called to speak their truth in love and respect, to share in the creation of God's kingdom here at St. Michael's. God has always walked beside you, showering you with grace upon grace. God will lead you and call you to even greater acts of justice, compassion, and diversity through the work of your hands, the love in your hearts, and the vision of your spirit. With the visionary and tender leadership of your wardens and your vestry, God will lead you to a new beginning, with a priest who will share your vision and walk beside you as I have, in tenderness and in strength. My beloved, remember that you are worthy, deserving of the sacrifice of the cross. My beloved, remember that you are worthy, deserving of the miracle of an empty tomb. The ascension marks the end of Jesus' mission and the beginning of our own. And like our own, the ascension story is both an ending and a beginning.